Hello, welcome to FPL 360. I'm Chuck Booth, and I'd like to start off with an editor's note. There are multiple times during which we refer to this upcoming game week as game week 24. It is actually game week 23, but the festive period has us a little frazzled. But without further ado, I'd like to get started on today's episode.
Hello, and welcome to the Game Week 24 edition of FPL 360. I'm John Sullivan.
And I'm Chuck Booth.
And Mark Hughes is no longer the manager of Stoke City.
Been a long time coming.
Yeah, we'll let that sink in for a bit. Yeah, Hughes kind of survived the axe for longer than we both thought. I guess it's going to be interesting to see who comes in. Who do you think's best suited to take over the Potters?
Well, right now they've had Slaven Bilic and Gary Rowett of Derby County linked to them. I think that Stoke can bounce back because they have the players, but they need someone who can actually motivate and galvanize the team.
Yeah, that's why I would kind of lean away from Slaven Bilic, just because he had kind of a similar issue on his exit from West Ham. Rowett, I mean, I guess he's the guy they really want, and he's one of the bookmakers' favorites right now. So I guess if they can hammer that out, he would be the guy to look at. Are there any other names you've seen linked or you think would be a good fit for that current post?
I think as of right now, Rowett's definitely number one because he has gotten Derby on a run to move to second in the championship. And that's why Derby wants to lock him down to a long-term contract. And if he's going to go to Stoke, they're going to charge Stoke about $1.5 million for him.
Yeah, and I mean, that's kind of a – you wouldn't think that's a huge roadblock right now. But, I mean, with the other guys out there, I mean, I guess right now if you look at the odds, you have Martin O'Neill and Ronald Koeman – towards the top. Aitor Karanka was linked, but he actually just got hired. So, I mean, I guess Rowett would be the guy I would kind of lean towards, and yeah. I think he's best suited to come in.
Yeah, because I'd take a hard pass on those other names.
Well, having spoke on Slaven Bilic, we're going to talk about his former club, West Ham United, who are facing a matchup against Huddersfield Town with potentially a bunch of guys out. I guess we'll start at the back. James Collins, Winston Reid, Aaron Cresswell are all questionable with injuries they've picked up. In the midfield, Arnautovic is 75%. Antonio is a little less likely to play. He's listed at 50% right now. Chuck, what are West Ham going to do if they're without half their first team?
I think they're going to hope that Rhys Oxford can play and kind of just roll out there with a makeshift line. Luckily, they're not up against the most formidable opposition in Huddersfield. So if there is a week for half the team to be injured, it's this week.
Yeah, as Chuck mentioned, Rhys Oxford, he was recently recalled on loan from Borussia Mönchengladbach. But the news kind of slipped under the wire as he picked up an injury upon his loan return. I guess if the majority of guys miss out, you could be looking at a back line that consists of Declan Rice or Oxford if he's fit, Zabaleta, Ogbonna, most likely Masuaku. In the midfield, you'd probably have some combination of Obiang, Noble in central midfield. And then you'd also have, I mean, obviously Lanzini, Kayate could figure in. Andre Ayew, Carroll, Chicharito would be the options up top. I guess this week would be the week to look at Huddersfield Town, especially with the Terriers at home against a injury-depleted West Ham side.
Yeah, give me those defenders in Loso and I'm good.
Yeah. So, segueing into the Game Week 24 rundown, we're going to start with Chelsea against Leicester City.
We got a really interesting one in this one, because normally against lesser opposition, you'd like the Chelsea back line, but Riyad Mahrez and Jamie Vardy have shown that they can both do it against top six opposition. So I'm not really feeling as confident in the Chelsea defense as I normally would be.
Yeah, if you look at Leicester's recent performances against the big boys, they lost 2-1 against Liverpool, drew Man United 2-2. They played the 2-1 against Tottenham, and the trend you're seeing is that they score, even when in fixtures where they would be the underdogs.
Yep.
I guess with that said, Leicester City, however, could potentially be without Wes Morgan, and Danny Simpson's most likely still going to be out. Robert Huth is back in contention. And with Jamie Vardy, as Chuck mentioned, he's been on a roll. He should return after missing the cup match with a knock. So I guess with that said, we'll segue into who do you like from a fantasy perspective?
This is as good of a week as any to captain Eden Hazard. I'm a Riyad Mahrez owner, so I am most definitely playing him because he's been hotter than just about anyone in fantasy lately.
Yeah, I'd have to agree there. Also, I'm looking at bringing in Marcos Alonso just because he's been absolutely brilliant, although I'm going to have to make a move or two just because his price has gone up to $7.3 million, which I'm a little bit salty about.
Yep, and that's why I'm an Azpilicueta owner who was considering pivoting to Marcos Alonso, but after that most recent price rise, that will not be happening.
Yeah, and then I guess the other thing to look at, which is more relevant for draft leagues, is who starts at the back for Chelsea, as Christensen's been starting lately, but Antonio Rudiger's been seeing a lot more time. So from a Taga perspective, that's something to keep an eye on. Moving on to the next match, we have Crystal Palace taking on Burnley.
So this is a very interesting one because Palace lost even more defenders at the FA Cup this week.
Yeah, so I'm going to go through the rundown real quick of this. So you have Schlops out. You already had Scott Dan and Punchin lost for the season. You have Sacco still out. Then you have Loftus-Cheek, who's rated as 50% chance of playing. Same with Andros Townsend. So with that knowledge, is there anyone who's going to come into contention you like for Crystal Palace? I personally like Patrick Van Aanholt.
I mean, I'd really avoid their defenders as a whole. The Palace midfield, you're hoping that Ruben Loftus-Cheek makes his return.
Yeah, I mean, you could also potentially see Fosu Mensah factoring in at the back. From an FPL official perspective, I don't really like them. I do like them from draft league, though, just because Patrick Van Aanholt has shown when at his best, he is a rather good attacking option on the left wing.
Yeah.
Looking at Burnley, you see this as a good matchup to roll the dice on the Clarets?
You're going to start all of your Burnley defenders. If this is a good of a match as any to move your favorite Claret, Berg Gudmundsson, in official FPL, because he's been putting together enough counting stats that he does actually merit consideration in official leagues.
I absolutely love JBG. I hopped on him right away in my column when Robbie Brady went out. I said he's going to give you pretty much equal, maybe a few less assists than Brady return, especially in draft leagues, and he's come through. His ownership has risen over 70% in Taga draft leagues.
And that's right still now, not high enough.
Yeah, it's still not high enough. Right now in OFPL, he's priced at $5 million, and he's selected by less than 1% of teams. So I think he's someone to definitely consider. I guess on the injury front, we'll note that Stephen Ward, has a 50% chance of playing, having been out for a while. And Scott Arfield has also been mentioned on here with a knock. So I guess if Arfield misses out, who do you think would come in?
Oh, man. Are we really going to see a Nkodu appearance in his first game for Burnley?
Yeah, I was going to say, we talked about it a little bit on the transfer episode of FPL 360, which came out earlier this week. I guess you could roll the dice on him, although I don't know if Sean Dyche has enough confidence in him yet to give him a run in the starting 11. So you could see maybe like an Ashley Westwood come in. But I think we've kind of covered the wide scope of information on that match. So we'll move along to Newcastle versus Swansea City. It's another match where I guess injuries are going to factor in a little bit, just because Rob Elliott's going to miss out. So that means Carl Darlow will be in net for Benitez's boys.
Yeah, even though Darlow's been kind of serviceable recently.
Well, after his getting dropped for being terrible, he had back-to-back solid performances. But yeah. I feel like we need to mention that he lost his spot for being bad.
Which is the same thing Elliot lost his spot for. So
neither of them are good.
Yes. the best keeper in this game is most definitely on Swansea and Lucas Fabianski.
Yes, Fabianski is pretty much a stalwart in FPL across all formats right now. If you need a goalkeeper, I would definitely consider bringing him in right now. He's at $4.6 million. And he's popped up in a big way at times this season. So he's someone to consider. Who else do you like? I mean, Swansea could be without Kyle Naughton. So I guess that's more of a blow for draft leagues than OFPL.
Yeah. Well, Naughton does lessen the value of Swansea's defense a little bit, just because he's been so solid this entire season. But, obviously, Fabianski's still going to have value. Unfortunately, Fabianski was probably going to be the only player on Swansea that was going to have value to begin with.
Yeah, and just to correct what I was saying, Naughton's still suspended from his incident back in the end of 2017. Someone I like, though, especially in draft leagues, if you need to stream a defender, DeAndre Yedlin of Newcastle, just because he poses a threat going forward, and I don't really see there being a ton of goals in this match.
Yeah, not at all. This could definitely be a lineup for our 0-0 draw.
So I guess we'll do a little bit of, if you had to start someone from this match, what do you think about Tom Carroll in draft leagues? He's owned in 12% of leagues right now.
Yeah, I guess Tom Carroll or Ayew.
Ayew. Anyone else from the Newcastle side, catching your eye?
From the Newcastle side, it really depends, because their entire team is so mercurial. Like, Matt Ritchie has really been the only consistent performer for them all season. Everyone else will have a great week followed by three really bad ones.
Yeah, one of those guys has been Christian Atsu. It seems like every time he has a good performance, he puts it in a dud sandwich.
Yep.
Moving right along to the next match on the slate, we are going to talk about Huddersfield and West Ham. We're going to revisit it a little bit. I know we went over the injuries in the beginning. We'll go in a little bit deeper, and I guess we'll start with Huddersfield's side, just because they do have a lot of their players healthy.
Yeah, the tough thing for Huddersfield right now is, who the hell is playing striker?
Yeah, I mean, you've kind of had a timeshare between Laurent Depourtre and Steve Meunier. Depourtre was doing well, and then he cooled off. Meunier had that great start to the season. Then he came back in the team after being hurt, had a brace, and he's been in and out lately. So Yeah, there's questions up front where the goals are going to come from. I mean, do you see this being another match for your boy Tom Ince?
Based on the way that David Moyes is going to lock up the box playing away in this one, probably not, just because when Ince doesn't have space to move, he takes lots of low percentage shots from outside the box, and I could really see that being what happens here.
Yeah, so I guess would this be a match to target if you need to, let's say you own some West Ham defenders or a couple of the other guys are out, would this be a match to look at defenders for OFPL?
Oh, yeah, because there's going to be a lot of low percentage shots, which means a lot of low percentage clearances, lots of aerial duels. Like, it's going to be a mess.
Yeah, so I guess that would put Chris Schindler and Matthias Zanka in play from an OFPL perspective. In draft leagues, both those guys they don't have as high an availability. I mean, Schindler is pretty much out of reach at 89%, and Zanka's owned at 49%. So they're going to be a little bit of a tougher ask. But those are two guys that I would definitely look at. Let's go, I guess, a little scoreline prediction. What do you see this match ending at?
I'll say 1-1.
1-1. Yeah, I'm going to go with 0-0. I think that with so many guys out for West Ham, I think Huddersfield Town will be comfortable to sit back and defend and pick up a point at home.
Yeah, the good thing is even with all the lack of defenders and whatnot, this is still a game where even without a clean sheet, your defenders will get you points in Taga.
Especially guys like Masuaku, who's been excellent going forward lately. He had a heck of a highlight reel dribble in the London Derby before the break, which was quite a spectacle. He popped it up to himself and split two defenders, which I retweeted on Twitter.
Let's just not talk about that game.
Moving on to the next match, Watford versus Brighton.
This is an interesting one. Obviously, Brighton coming to Watford really lessens their potential in this game just because Brighton is not a very good away side. On Watford, you're looking at their entire midfield and hoping that Andre Carrillo starts, because if he does, he's a very good add in draft leagues. Still not at a point where I would trust anyone not named Richarlison or maybe Dakare in official FPL, but that's really about it from their side.
Yeah, I actually scooped up Carrillo in one of our 12-team leagues before we recorded the podcast. I like his potential this weekend. Looking at it from Brighton's side, I mean, there's not too much in it. I mean, obviously, you're still owning Pascal Gross. You're going to be starting him across all formats. The guy I would consider maybe giving a look in draft leagues is Jose Izquierdo. He had 2 assists against Bournemouth last time out. He's only owned in 2% of leagues, so he could be definitely an interesting punt option. Is there anyone else you like? I mean, I feel like we covered most of the guys. I guess, obviously, Duffy and Dunk are options for Brighton.
And Matt Ryan.
And Matt Ryan in goal. Matt Ryan right now, he's available at 4.5 million, selected by 2.2% in OFPL. I see this being, I don't see a clean sheet in this one. I'm going to say 1-1 here.
I've probably got 2-1 Watford, because they're in need of a win.
Yeah, they are. Moving on to a game that should have more goals in it. Tottenham versus Everton. I think so.
I'm not so sure about that.
I mean, Spurs are healthy outside of, obviously, Alderweireld. Wanyama's fit. He's ready for selection, so he'll be back in the team. I think this is definitely a week to consider captaining Harry Kane, like is every week when he's fit. Obviously, I think Son's another interesting option if he starts. Who would you like better if you had to pick one of the two, Eriksen or Ali?
I'm taking Eriksen.
I mean, Dele's due for a good game, right?
I mean, he's put in a few decent shifts. It's just the fact that out of the Tottenham midfielders, even though he's had a slightly disappointing season, Eriksen's always going to be your most consistent option.
Yeah, I mean, he's the creative mind of that attack. I like Davies at the back, just because he gets forward. And if he gets a clean sheet, you know, he's with the potential of an assist, he could be looking at a 14 to 16 point afternoon. What do you think from the rotating defenders for Spurs?
Well, right now, Ben Davies at least has his spot until the end of January when Danny Rose is slated to come back from his injury. Kieran Trippier, since Serge Aurier started against West Ham, should also probably return to the starting lineup because they're in a bit of a 50-50 rotation. And obviously, the center backs aren't changing.
Yeah. So, moving on to the Everton side. I still own Jonjo Kenny. I haven't really had a chance to hop off of him and make a transfer. Is there anyone that you like in their side who you would consider bringing in, even though it's, you know, on paper at least, not a good matchup for Everton?
Wayne Rooney.
What about the new boy?
Not touching anyone in OFPL directly after they come in.
I guess maybe, you know, I don't see them keeping a clean sheet. So, like you said, I'm probably going to bench Kenny if I keep him.
Yeah, I transferred him out for a Ben Davies last week, and I was very happy with that move.
So, I guess with the match covered, I'm going to go with a I'm going to go 4-1 Spurs.
Good Lord. I was going to say 1-0 Spurs. So, I'd obviously much rather have your scoreline, but we'll see about that one.
They're at home, though.
Yeah, but Everton is a pretty good defensive side.
I mean, they're still without Leighton Baines, though. I mean, they have been better defensively. Michael Keane, I'm just seeing here, has a 75% chance of playing. So I'm assuming he'll play just a knock. But, you know, without him, I don't know. I mean, I feel like Spurs are due to, you know, rebound after that draw against West Ham.
Yeah, but rebounding and putting four past Everton are two very different things right now.
Next match we're going to talk about Bournemouth versus Arsenal. This match is going to be played at the Vitality Stadium with Arsenal on the road. So I guess we'll start with the home side in this one.
All right, on Bournemouth in draft leagues, I am 100% looking at Jordan Ibe. Ryan Fraser should also make his return to the starting 11 this week after being rested.
That's perfect, because in the league that you're looking at, I have Ryan Fraser and you have Jordan Ibe. So I guess we'll do a little bit of a wager here and who has the better match. I'm going to go with Ryan Fraser. I mean, he sat out last match, so he'll be fresh to come back. And I guess looking from a Taga perspective, over his last two appearances, he's got two goals on, you know, two shots on target. He's got six chances created. So I'm going to say Fraser will have more points in Taga.
And, of course, as an Ibe owner, I disagree. Even though he only has one assist in his last three matches, he has been creating chances like it's nobody's business with 5, 1, and 6, and literally just stuffing the stat sheet since Eddie Howe's been moving to his new three-center-back system.
Yeah, I think that's really good from an FPL perspective. Do you see that translating at all into official?
It's possibly, considering how bad the Arsenal defense has been lately. Like, it's pretty hard to see Arsenal actually keeping a clean sheet, and more likely than not, considering Bournemouth's lineup right now, it'll probably be an Ibe to Fraser assist on a goal.
Yeah, I could see that, especially with Arsenal. Looking at the injury front, you have Mustafi will most likely play. You have Koscielny, who is a doubt. Kolasinac, Monreal are most likely going to sit out, and then you have Aaron Ramsey, who looks like he could be out until the end of the month. Guess that kind of aids why we think there will be goals. I guess with those injuries in hand, is there anyone you'd be looking to bring in from Arsenal?
That are people's replacements? Not really. In OFPL, I'd probably look at Mesut Ozil as another one of those options if you're a Coutinho owner.
Yeah, I think also Jack Wilshere's worth a look at 5.4 million. He scored a cracker of a goal against Chelsea. This should be a wide open match. So I think while Arsenal won't keep a clean sheet, I don't see them getting shut out by any means, especially with Alexis Sanchez continuing to audition for Manchester City.
Yep.
Just looking where the goals will come from, we're assuming it'll be from Ozil and Sanchez. Any thoughts on Lacazette potentially?
So I really like the shifts that Lacazette has been putting in recently, but he's got nothing to show for it.
Yeah, you look at him over the last couple of matches, back-to-back matches against West Brom, Chelsea, no goals. And actually, he hasn't scored a goal since game week 15 against Manchester United. He does have 3 assists over his last 4 matches, though.
Yeah, he's kind of in that Lukaku position where, like, on paper, he's been playing extremely well. But on the stat sheet, there's nothing there to show for it.
So I guess with that said, the thought's going to be bet the over in this match. I think it's going to be, I'm going to go with like a 2-2 draw.
Just because I don't like Arsenal, I'm taking a 3-2 Bournemouth win.
Ooh, I'd love to see that. Moving on to another match that should have plenty of goals in it. Manchester City travel to Liverpool. This should be a really good game.
It's funny because this is a match that I've actually been really waiting to see. And then Liverpool sold Coutinho and now have players that may not feature.
Yeah, so Big Phil's gone. On the injury front, you have Salah, who has a 75% chance of playing. I think he'll recover in time. Jordan Henderson's still out. Obviously, long-term absentee Nathan Klein's out. And Alberto Moreno's still out.
But Virgil van Dijk should make his first appearance for Liverpool in the league in this one.
Yeah, and now you got VVD in there. Looking at Manchester City's injury report, you have, obviously, the ever-injured Vincent Kompany has a 75% chance of playing, and Gabriel Jesus is out long-term, but they're relatively healthy.
Yeah, because Silva is missing their game against Bristol City, which means he should probably return for the weekend.
So I guess, who do you like looking at it? I guess we'll go squad by squad. Who do you like for Manchester City in this game?
Everyone that's not a defender.
Yeah, so obviously Sterling, KDB, Silva, if he plays, Sané, they're all kind of expensive. I guess David Silva is the cheapest at 8.1.
You can probably only fit like two of these guys into your team, and those would definitely be Sterling and Aguero if I had to pick two.
What are your thoughts on KDB, though? I mean, he's been lights out lately.
I do love KDB, but KDB's 10.2, whereas Sterling is he still 8.8 or 8.9 now?
8.9.
Yeah, just that price difference is really what you need if you want to shoehorn Aguero in.
Yeah, and that's the move to do with Jesus out for so long and no other recognized striker.
Yes.
So I guess we're going to pivot back to Liverpool. No more Big Phil. So that means Mane is going to be starting.
Yep. Mane can no longer be rotated. And then the other two guys with the most to gain here are Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain and Adam Lallana.
Yeah, I think Chamberlain is definitely someone to give a look at. He has a high ownership right now in Tonga. So you're only going to be able to get him if you go out and make a trade. He's actually owned in 91% of leagues, which is I think is rather high. But in OFPL for 5.6, for a guy who could potentially be seeing a lot more starts and has attacking potential going forward, I think he's someone to consider. I would pump the brakes on bringing him in this week, though, and just wait and see what it looks like with Big Phil.
Yeah, that's definitely fair.
And then, obviously, up top you have Firmino at 9.1, who has been really good lately. Kind of, I mean, he hasn't scored in the last two matches, but before that he had 4 goals in the span of game week 18 through game week 20.
Yeah, and also looking at the Chamberlain versus Lallana, Lallana's at 7.3. So, again, you want to see who's going to start out of them, because right now that 5.6 is a very appealing line. Also, one interesting thing, Emre Can has actually gotten the same amount of points as Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain at a 4.8 price tag.
Well, yeah, we should mention Chan's reportedly signed a pre-contract agreement, and he'll be heading to Juventus in the summer. But for now, he is a Liverpool player, and I don't see why he wouldn't be used by Jurgen Klopp. Yeah. I mean, I like him in draft leagues when he starts.
Yeah, at least for the foreseeable future, Liverpool has to play Emre Can because there's no other recognized central defensive midfielder.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I mean, I think with him and now VVD back there, that turns their defense from questionable into rather solid through the middle.
I'd agree with that.
Moving on to the last match of Game Week 24, we have Manchester United taking on Stoke City at Old Trafford.
This should be a rout.
This is, if there is ever a day to go heavy on Manchester United, it's this one. You have Ashley Young. He's obviously out because he is still suspended. Eric Bailly, long term, he's out. Antonio Valencia has a chance to come back. I know he just joined up with them in their January training, so he'll probably play. I'm riding Lingard. I love Lingard this match. Pretty much whoever starts in their attacking core is someone I want to play this week.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that, because I transferred in Paul Pogba, and I'm
looking at making a move. My midfield is Salah, Loftus-Cheek, Mahrez, Sterling, and Lingard. Chuck, do you think my midfield would be suited to bring in Paul Pogba?
Considering that you're already a Lingard owner, I'm not sure you necessarily need to make that transfer. I just had no one from United. At least for this week, it wouldn't be a bad idea playing Paul Pogba. But considering that you already have one, you'll probably want to look at the long-term slate.
Yeah, so the point of kind of bringing that up is just saying you're going to want to have Manchester United covered. But then again, certainly these good matchups, then they play Spurs. So just do keep an eye on the long-term schedule. Looking at Stoke's side, they got rid of Mark Hughes, and I just stay away from them.
I mean, the
word of advice.
In draft leagues, I'm still taking a look at Butland and Kurt Zuma just because they kind of transcend their opposition. But
well, we don't know who Kurt Zuma was going to play alongside, though, because Jeff Cameron just picked up an injury.
Yeah, but he put up like 8.5 points in Taga playing with Jeff Cameron.
Yeah, I'd be skeptical. I mean, if you own Shaqiri or Choupo-Moting, you're going to start them, and there's really no reason why you shouldn't, because they've been the only guys to really show life. I mean, Robin and Sobey had been interesting, but I guess Manchester United, I don't really see him factoring in if he gets a start.
Yeah.
And then I guess, you know, Butland will be good for some saves, but there's no way he's keeping a clean sheet. So I would also stay away from him. But, you know, injuries and no manager is just a recipe for disaster against United.
Yeah, this could be just as bad as that 5-0 Chelsea defeat.
Yeah, well, we can only hope. My boys my boys need to start getting their head out of their ass. Okay, with the matches covered for Game Week 24, we're going to move into a few listener questions. The first one is from Brandon Marcus on Twitter. If Sanchez bolts to Manchester City, what caliber of player would you trade to acquire Lacazette? Also, any current players you see a spike in value coming?
So, looking at Lacazette, he's a guy that's been sort of overrated when it comes to draft leagues because he's essentially a high forward two, but he's looked at as being a mid-tier forward one. Which you'd really want, you'd really have to probably trade an actual forward one to get him. One guy that I'd look at is trying to package Wayne Rooney, because he's been very good and is someone that at least has the name recognition to turn heads.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough with Lacazette, just because if Sanchez does leave, I mean, you're going to anticipate him scoring a ton more goals. So I do think it's going to be hard to pry him away. But like you said, if you could package, you know, like a Rooney and a high-end midfielder too, maybe someone like, you know, Gudmundsson Berg. I mean, it's kind of, you're going to have to sell a guy at his highest value, and you're going to have to overpay. And I guess it's just really weighing long-term what else your club needs.
Yeah, this is probably something you'd want to do in a two-for-two deal as opposed to a one-for-one.
Yeah. And then in terms of players whose ownership's going to spike, I would, you know, obviously say the guys who have moved in the window, so obviously Tosin, and then Kevin George's and Kodu going to Burnley. Do you see anyone who hasn't moved in the window who could be due for a big rise in ownership?
Well, considering if this Sanchez move happens, then that means that Jack Wilshere and Aaron Ramsey can both play in the same Arsenal lineup, which really makes Wilshere a must-own in basically all leagues.
Yeah, so if you're looking at it right now, Wilshere's owned in 47% of leagues, so that's definitely going to rise. Ramsey is already owned in 93, so he's most likely already owned in the majority of serious or active leagues. I guess anyone on the fringes you'd like to look at? I mean, the guy I mentioned a little bit in our match preview was Patrick Van Aanholt with all of the injuries Crystal Palace have. And with Schlapp out now, anyone else you like? Anyone else you've come across? Or
well, on the fringes, the biggest is definitely Jordan Ibe, who's owned in 11% of leagues, which is far too low considering the performances that he has been putting in lately.
Is Jordan Ibe the kind of player you consider trading for?
Not really, just because, right now his value is probably too high to actually trade for him.
Yeah, I mean, he's hot right now, and the same with Fraser. So, I mean, if you can scoop those guys, I definitely would encourage having one of those guys, because if they continue to perform, like you said, they could be a good someone to package with. And, you know, with a bunch of other people potentially moving in the window, I guess the other guy whose ownership could go through the roof would be Theo Walcott if he moves, potentially DFR Sacco if he joins Swansea City. But a lot of those are kind of speculation on our end, and they would really hinge on other transfers being made and other pieces being moved. Moving on to our second and final question from FPL Murph. Which team has had the best second half of the season compared to their first half, and vice versa? So I guess in this question, we're going to be talking about clubs who we think had a good first half, are going to do bad in the second half, and then flip-flop them. Chuck, do you want to start us off?
All right, so I have two clubs that I think are really going to regress to the mean in the second half, and those teams are Burnley and Everton.
Ooh, I disagree with you on Burnley, but I guess why do you think Burnley?
It's just, like, while they have been flying high, how they've done while going up against the Big Six opposition, and really any team that's around where Burnley is trying to get to, has left me with a little bit of concern.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at Burnley, through their last six matches, through their last five matches, they don't have a win. They got three draws and two losses. So they have been kind of dropping off a bit. I guess the reason why I think Burnley are going to be fine, I mean, they're going to obviously finish somewhere mid-table. I just think because they've kind of weathered this storm through the festive period where they don't have this squad depth to rotate. And, you know, they're still in seventh place after it.
Yeah, that's fair. But I think that one of my teams that I think will have a better second half than their first half could really give them a run for their money.
Who is that?
Huddersfield.
Ooh, so they started off hot, and then they kind of had the newly promoted honeymoon come to an end.
Yeah, because Huddersfield has a lot of matches against the bottom of the table, and while they do need to play each member of the Big Six, basically, between now and the end of the season, considering that they already have nicked points off of the Big Six by beating Manchester United, I wouldn't be surprised if they're able to pull off at least another draw in one of those games.
Yeah, the club I'm looking at who had a bad first half, who I think can turn it around in the second half, would obviously be Eddie Howe and Bournemouth. I mean, right now they're sitting in 16th on 21 points, and they've had injuries hit them. But as Chuck said, with the formational change and guys like Ryan Fraser and Jordan Ibe seeing more playing time and hitting their form, I think they're going to look a lot more like they did when they were on form last season than like they did in the first half. And I'm not too familiar with their schedule, but what I'm going to say is that, you know, Eddie Howe is one of the better up-and-coming coaches, and it's taken him a while to adapt, but I think that with this new formation they brought in, I think it's going to work wonders. They got Arsenal, West Ham, Chelsea to start the new year, but then the schedule opens up a bit. So if they can weather that storm, I don't see why they can't finish around 10th or 11th in the table.
Yeah, and my reasoning with why I think that Everton's also going to have a worse second half is just because when Sam Allardyce came in, they went on their 8-game unbeaten streak, and I don't think that they're going to be able to replicate anything similar to that, because while their offense should be better, I think their defense is going to regress. And considering their next five right now is playing Spurs, West Brom, Leicester, Arsenal, and Crystal Palace.
Yeah, I think they have overachieved. The one thing I guess Everton does have going for them that a lot of these other clubs kind of find themselves in the middle of the pack right now is they have what potentially could be a first-rate striker coming in from the window. So I guess I give them the upper hand with that, but at the same time, I do think they are going to concede more goals.
Yes.
So I guess any other clubs, anything else you wanted to mention about?
That's all I've got before we get to specific predictions.
Okay. Well, with that said, let's roll into game week 24's edition of specific predictions. Chuck, you want to start us off?
Well, I'll repeat the one that I said earlier, and that's that Bournemouth gets the 3-2 upset win over Arsenal.
Ooh. Okay, sticking on match predictions, I'm going to go with Leicester City are going to nick a draw off Chelsea.
Then Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain assists 2 for Liverpool against Manchester City.
Ooh, I like that. Let's see, going on specific player predictions, I'm going to go with an Arthur Masuaku assist in West Ham's match against Huddersfield Town if they score. So that's a little bit of one to follow.
Does he complete double-digit dribbles?
Ooh, I'm going to set the over-under at 7.5, and I'm going to take the over.
That doesn't answer my question.
Yeah, and he's not going to get double digits, but I think he'll get more than seven.
Okay, I like how you tried to get away from that one.
Yeah, I thought the way I answered it sounded kind of put together enough where you wouldn't notice that I was avoiding saying he won't get double digits. And then obviously we have our head-to-head bet for Togo, which is I think Ryan Frazier will outscore Jordan Ibe, and Chuck thinks Jordan Ibe will outscore Ryan Frazier.
Yep, and we'll see how that works out next week.
All right, well, that about does it for our Game Week 24 episode of FPL 360. With that said, I'm Sean Sullivan.
And I'm Chuck Booth, and you can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Stitcher.
And remember, if you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us on Twitter. My Twitter account is Sean_Sullivan_1, and Chuck's is Chuck Booth Sport. So, may your arrows be green, and Godspeed during the game week.